so in case something is wrong and the tapes are mislabeled.
Chris, do you want me up here?
Sure. Okay, get started. The Senate State and Local Government Committee will come to order. Today is Wednesday, January 30th, and we have just one bill on our agenda, Senate File 58, and we have canceled the overviews that were scheduled to be done today because of some scheduling conflicts. So this is all we'll have on our agenda. And so turn it over to you, Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
All right, let's distribute the A1 amendment as an author's amendment.
They're in the packets.
Oh, they're in the packets. I'm sorry. I just made sure everyone else has theirs. Do I have it? Or this is my copy. All right. They're in your packets.
Okay.
All amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Senator Eaton, then we're working off your delete all amendment.
Right. The LCC, the Subcommittee on Employee Relations, approved the public employee contracts on Monday and referred them to us. There's not a lot of changes, but I will let Greg go through what the major changes are.
All right.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I also help staff the LCC Subcommittee on Employee Relations, which recommended these contracts to you. I thought I'd take a minute or two first and just talk about the collective bargaining process for state employees for members who may be new to this process. You may know that the executive branch has about 50,000 state employees, and those employees are represented by one of 10 unions. About 90% of the employees are represented by one of these 10 unions. These unions are generally based on occupations. The Minnesota Association of Professional Employees represents professional employees. AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, represents clerical, technical service, and healthcare non-professional employees. And then there are eight others. The Department of Minnesota and Management and Budget represents the administration in contract negotiations and negotiates with each of the unions. The contracts are for two-year periods and generally follow the state's biennium. Last summer, MMB reached tentative agreements with two of the unions, AFSCME and MAPE, and submitted those two contracts to the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. In August, the subcommittee met and reviewed those two contracts and rejected them. Since that time, MMB has negotiated a number of additional contracts and submitted those three new contracts, and then the AFSCME and MAPE contracts were considered again by the subcommittee on Monday. The subcommittee recommends those five contracts. In addition, the subcommittee received two compensation plans for unrepresented employees that had been developed by Minnesota Management and Budget and recommends that those plans be approved by the legislature as well. I point out that these contracts are for the current biennium. There are 6 months left to these contracts. I could summarize the contracts, but it might be more appropriate to ask Ms. Holmes, the Assistant Commissioner for Labor Relations, to talk about the specific provisions.
Ms. Holmes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Barbara Holmes. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Labor Relations at Minnesota Management and Budget, and I and my capable staff negotiated these contracts that are in front of you. As Senator Eaton stated, there aren't a lot of significant, what I would refer to as language changes in these contracts. What's usually more significant of more of interest to this committee would be the changes to the wage provisions and the changes to the insurance provisions. The state employee group insurance program covers all employees in state government, all of your employees, you, the judicial branch, and the executive branch. And there were some changes we had to make in the insurance article. Some of them were technical changes due to the Federal Affordable Care Act. The most significant one was regarding coverage of children of an employee up to age 26. That was required under the Affordable Accountable Care Act? I have so many acronyms. That was required under the federal legislation, and so we had to adjust our insurance provisions. The most significant substantive changes to the insurance was in plan design, and it involves shifting some of the cost of of items that are normally paid by the employer to the employees. Specifically, what we increased, and these are the employee-paid portions, were increased for the annual first dollar deductible for office visit, emergency care, inpatient hospital care, and surgery copays. We increased the coinsurance for lab, pathology, x-ray services, and MRIs, the coinsurance that employees pay. We increased the maximum out-of-pocket non-drug expense amount, and we increased the prescription drug copay. And the insurance provisions that are in the labor contracts are the same one, again, that are in the plans that Mr. Hubinger mentioned. In terms of the wage increases, they are the same for all of the collective bargaining agreements and the plans, except for one small difference. Across the board is being given to all employees, and it is an across the board of 2%, and it is effective January 2nd of 2013. So again, it is in effect for only the last 6 months of this contract. The first 18 months of the contract, there is no across the board. And in the biennium before that, there were no across the board increases. So state employees have gone for 3.5 years with no across the board and just this 2% in this last 6 months of this contract.
So Ms. Holmes, it's not, the pay is not retroactive?
No, the 2% across the board is only retroactive to January 2nd of this month.
This month.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think you all are aware that there is something called step increases in the labor contracts. Just briefly, every state job is assigned to a particular salary schedule, and that salary schedule has multiple levels or steps. The percentage between each of these steps varies by labor contract, and it varies anywhere between 2.7% to 4.0%. And an employee generally starts at the bottom of a salary range, and then on an annual basis, if they have acceptable performance, they get their step increase and move to the next level of the salary range. Once they hit the top of the salary range, there's no further place for them to go, so step increases don't occur for them. And currently, about 50% of state employees are at the maximum of their salary range and will not be getting any sort of step increases.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the going back just a little bit, on the 2% across-the-board increase, you said that there were none of the union groups that received that across the board. I'm sorry. They did not receive that across the board. Were there any of the individual groups that received any kind of an increase in the last biennium?
Ms. Holmes.
Madam Chair, Senator, I don't know what you mean by individual groups.
Agencies, you mean like?
Yeah. Instead of across-the-board agencies, were there any individual agencies then?
Ms. Holmes.
Madam Chair, Senator, these collective bargaining agreements cover 90% of state employees. The other 10% are covered by the two compensation plans that are in front of you, and they're uniform across all executive branch agencies. So there will only be an across-the-board increase for everyone starting in January of this year.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Did you want to proceed?
In the two compensation plans that are in front of you, first of all, one is called the managerial plan. Obviously, it applies to employees who are in managerial job classes in the executive branch. The other plan is called the commissioner's plan. It does not cover commissioners. The word commissioner refers mostly to the commissioner of MMB. It is sort of a catch-all plan for all the rest of the employees who are not represented. And who some of those employees are, all of the human resource people who do human resources in state government obviously are not covered by a labor contract. They're part of management, and so they're covered by the commissioner's plan. All of the people who do labor relations are covered by the commissioner's plan. There is a bargaining unit called it is a healthcare professionals. They have chosen not to be represented. They are covered by the commissioner's plan, and the job classes in there, they are veterinarians, dentists, pharmacists, that level of healthcare professional job. So it covers, again, a large sort of mishmash of employees. And under those two plans, they have something that's comparable to a step. It's just called the performance increase, and we have a little bit more discretion with that than the step increases. So that's essentially the major difference. Any questions?
Questions from any members of the committee? I had one. So there's actually not a supplemental budget to cover the 2% increase. So how is this being paid for?
Madam Chair, the individual agencies are to absorb the cost. They've already have their allocations for the biennium.
And so you said also, I think earlier, Commissioner Holmes, that their state employees are being asked to pay more for their health insurance. Do you have an estimate of how much more that's going to be? And does that then lower the state's cost, or it just goes toward increased health costs?
The employees who are covered by the State Employee Group Insurance Program, based on the changes that are in this coverage, will pay an additional $7.9 million in this calendar year, and it's a shift, again, away from the employer's costs that normally the employer would be picking up. On average, and this is averaging employees who also have family coverage with single coverage with, some people go to the doctor, some don't. It's about, I think they'll be paying about an average of $286 more a year with these changes.
And that's, you mentioned earlier, that was co-pays and deductibles mostly.
Yeah. Co-pays, deductibles, co-insurance, and premiums.
Okay.
For those who pay premiums.
Okay. All right. Senator Dahl.
Madam Chair, so would it be fair to say then with only a 2% increase in the increased health costs that a lot of these employees might actually be going backwards or, will be seeing really little increase maybe in their paychecks?
Ms. Holmes.
Madam Chair, Senator Dahl, I wouldn't say it's an even wash. I think the 2% is a little bit larger number. The only thing I would add is that 19,000 of our state employees in the executive branch were not working for 3 weeks in the month of July in the biennium that this contract covers, and they lost a total of $65 million in salary. So when you combine those, I don't think they're taking much more home.
Mm-hmm. Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair, thank you. And actually, my question is somewhat related to your question. With the 2% increase in the base for the remainder until the next contract is ratified, that's going to obviously increase the cost into the next biennium. And so given the fact the governor has recently made a budget proposal, obviously probably based on current law, is there any conversations with the administration or anyone else in regards to absorbing or how what the payment mechanism is going to be for in the next biennium, which is, as I understand it, $200 and some odd million in increased costs as a result of the increase in the base, set aside the new ratification of the contract, I should say.
Commissioner Holmes.
Madam Chair, Senator Peterson, I'm going to have you ask one of our budget people that question, or I can get the answer for you. I believe that it's been built into the projections that they make, that they build the biennial budget on, but I'll get back to you about that to be sure.
That would be great just to know, because a $200 million, Madam Chair, thank you, $200 million or somewhere north of that is considerable when taken into account looking at the whole budget picture and understanding what our spending is going to be as it relates to revenues.
Okay. Any other questions? Any members of the committee? Yes, Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair, I don't have a question, but I do have an amendment. If this is the right time, or do you want to finish the discussion before?
Let's see if there's any more questions, and then we'll note your amendment.
Thank you.
Well, we could pass out your amendment. What's the amendment number?
A5, please.
Okay, let's pass out the A5 amendment. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Eaton, I am very pleased that you are bringing this before us. I don't know if you remember, but I have been I was a state employee before I came to the Senate for a number of years, and I do appreciate the work that is happening in so many of our different divisions. And I think that there is a sense of, I don't know, we've moved in a direction of kind of creating a message around public work that is kind of demoralizing, in my view, in terms of the service that public servants do for our communities, for our state. But I want to ask, I think she is distracted with the amendment right now.
Sorry.
No problem. We'll get to that. But, Senator, I just wanted to make sure that you know I have been asked to really look into reviewing kind of how we do business in the state, how we address some issues around, you know, gaps in health and human services, issues around providing more support to low-income communities, communities of color. And I think that there is a sense of accountability that I want to, you know, make sure we have. So I just want to let you know that I believe in compensating good work. I believe that we need to do this. I believe that it's due. But I also believe that conversations around accountability and figuring out how these systems actually help us move in terms of dealing with some of, you know, significant problems in serving low-income families and people of color are very significant for me. And I will be continuing to ask for those responses and that kind of result in terms of the work that we do. But I do believe in compensation, and I do believe that you get what you pay for. So I do think that we need to compensate and ask for results.
Thank you.
Any responses?
Madam Chair, Senator Torres-Ray, I would just agree with what you said, having been a 35-year state employee myself. I think that people need to realize that we're talking about jobs here. We're talking about people who are plowing your streets. We're talking about state troopers. We're talking about prison guards. We're talking about nurses, which is what I was. And these are part of our economy and important people in our community, and they are the ones who deal most directly with those in the more challenged areas of the city, because that's where the services are needed. So having spent a lot of time in community mental health, I've been there. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would propose at this point the A5 amendment. And as currently our health insurance exists in the state, we pay about 15% of the coverage for our family members, but we contribute nothing to the coverage for ourselves, employees and individual. I will tell you that when I was elected and came up here 2 years ago, I was shocked to find that out. That's very rare in the private sector. And so what this amendment would do, Madam Chair and members, is it would require that employees of the state contribute a minimum of 5% to their own health insurance premium, which on average would come out to somewhere between about $47 and $48 a month. So I would propose the A5 amendment, and I would like a roll call, please.
Okay. Roll call has been requested. Responses from the committee or from Senator Eaton?
Yeah. Madam Chair, since the amendment has this take effect at the end of this fiscal year, not fiscal year, but insurance year, December 31st, I think it would make more sense to have this part of the total compensation and part of the bargaining process with the contracts.
For the new contract.
Yes.
Yeah, since this contract is already negotiated. And
right. This was bargained in good faith, and I would not support changing it at this point.
Okay. Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair and Senator Eaton, the reason that it was decided to make this effective after the current biennium is that we didn't want to obstruct the process of either ratifying or not ratifying this contract. But what this would do is put in statute the change to require the 5% contribution from the employee that will guide the bargaining process in the future going forward. So, in other words, we're comparing apples to apples here. We're not in any way going to affect the contract that's currently being discussed here in this committee. And when I say apples to apples, we're changing the statute that deals specifically with this issue. So I believe it's appropriate to do it in this particular amendment.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I still do not think, Senator Thompson, that it's a good idea to bargain through legislation. I believe that we have a really good process that's worked through since, I think, was it 1947 that the steps were put in place? And that there's no need to make that change at this time. You can certainly talk to the MMB about their negotiations for the next contract, that would be your preference. But I think that over the bargaining table is where those issues belong.
Senator Hayden.
Good. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would echo the statements of Senator Eaton. I think that we should leave that to the bargaining table. And if it is something, Senator Thompson, that you feel strongly about, I think that this is a good piece of legislation that maybe you should run by itself and not as an amendment to the contract ratification process to kind of set up those dynamics of how the administration negotiates. I personally don't think it is a good idea, but I most certainly don't think it's a good idea to attach it to this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? Any more discussion? All right. Okay, then the clerk will take the roll. I'll vote first. I vote no.
Okay. Eaton?
No.
Hall?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Dahl?
No.
Wicklund?
No.
Hayden?
No.
Housley?
Yes.
Johnson?
No.
Peterson?
Yes.
Scalzi?
No.
Thompson?
Yes.
Torres-Ray?
No.
Okay, and a vote of 8 no's and 5 yeses, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is defeated. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would at this point ask to have distributed the A3 amendment. Okay. And I think that since we are not going to ask this of all state employees, it at least makes sense that since we as legislators have had to manage budgets and at least from many people's perspective, ask for sacrifices. I certainly don't think we should be exempt from, contributing our fair share to fiscal responsibility. So the A3 amendment does the exact same thing the A5 amendment did, but it applies only to state legislators. So members of the Senate and House would have to pay a minimum of 5% to their own health care, their individual health care. And I would like a roll call vote, please.
Okay, roll call has been requested. Any response, Senator Eaton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sure that Senator Thompson is aware of the fact that a lot of legislators, this is their job. And I know for myself, I make half of what I do as a nurse. It's not well-paying, and to add more burden to people who are willing to give up their time and serve their community and to single them out just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I would not support this amendment.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I guess I'll just echo the statements of Senator Eaton again and for Senator Thompson. I'm going to think this is a good idea. I do agree with Senator Eaton about kind of the challenges that often some have to come and serve and to be able to have a robust benefit package that at least keeps them healthy without taking too much out of their pocket. But beyond that, I just don't think this is the appropriate place to raise this amendment. If there's a series of bills or pieces of legislation, Senator Thompson, we're in the early part of the legislative session, you have more than enough time to put a series of bills together that will kind of amend our benefits package. I think that would be the most appropriate place, and I don't think that this is. So I would encourage members to vote no.
I don't think the legislature, we've had a raise for like 10 years or something, or 12 years. It's been a long time. And we had a system at one time where our benefits were tied to whatever state employees negotiated for. But in this case, we're not getting a 2% increase like state employees are. Our salaries remain frozen. Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Senator Thompson, and I guess I'm going through the chair,
Actually, I've been told our salaries were frozen in 1998. So it's quite some time. And I don't really have a problem with this idea. But I just would like to see it in a regular bill. As Senator Hayden said, it's early in the session. I think that this is an idea that should run totally separate from what we're talking about today. And I would urge Senator Thompson to do that.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Do you want to do that?
you know, I think it's a legitimate conversation to ask if the compensation for legislators is correct. But I think that saying, well, we don't feel we pay ourselves enough and therefore we should put it in the benefit package, and particularly in the area of health care, which we know is an incredible cost driver for all Americans and certainly all Minnesotans, I think that it makes sense for us to not have a package that looks so much better than what the average person on the street working in the private sector paying our salaries has, that I think now is a very good time to do it. But I understand the opposing perspective.
And I just wanted to ask Commissioner Holmes, legislators also would be subject, though, to the same increase in co-pays and deductibles that state employees are subject to based on this contract? Is that true?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really think this should be part of a larger discussion on compensation for legislators. I don't think tying this to these people who've waited for quite some time for their contracts to be ratified is fair. They're long overdue. As the commissioner said, they expire in 6 months. They deserve to have these contracts implemented so we can all move ahead for the next biennium.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually think Senator Thompson's on the right track with his amendment. I think what the amendment is about is leadership, and what he's putting forward and what he put forward in his previous amendment is starting the conversation with ourselves about what we can do to save the taxpayers money and bring into, quite frankly, real-world reality what legislators are paying. I'd be interested to know. I mean, we've talked a lot about what legislators are compensated for 5.5 months' worth of work, which is $31,000 plus whatever you claim in per diem. How many members of these respective bargaining units make that same salary in an entire year? I think to them, they would look at our salary and benefits package as something that they'd love to have. And so I don't think it's accurate to compare what we do and what we get paid for in 5.5 months to what these people get in 12 months. And in that regard, I think it's a great suggestion. And I think it's, for once, the public is going to see us leading by example on a measure of cost containment, which I think is all too rare today. So I would support the amendment.
I think that's an interesting thing you bring up. Maybe Commissioner Holmes could tell us now or at a later date, since you mentioned that 50% of state employees are at the top of their salary range, what is the average, then, compensation for state employees?
Madam Chair, I'd have to get back to you about that.
Okay.
And it might be helpful to look at it by bargaining unit
by
also.
By bargaining unit, right. I think
I'll get that information to the committee.
Senator Scalzi.
And I was wondering, did we have these amendments in the 24-hour time period, Ms. Chair, before the meeting?
Senator Scalzi, we don't have a rule like that in the Senate. So the chair can complain, like the Commerce Chair did in the last meeting. And the author can complain that we never saw these amendments before,
we
don't have a rule.
Okay. And I can complain because you're voting against it.
Yes, and you can also always move to table an amendment if you don't feel prepared to discuss it, and then it can be brought up at a later time. That's an option, which, you know, we've done in the past, too.
Well,
okay, Senator Scalzi.
Ms. Chair, I was just looking at your committee procedures handout, which we got.
And we did procedures.
And it does say that members are encouraged to have all amendments drafted by Senate counsel at least 24 hours in advance of the hearing. And I don't know, encouraged.
That's drafted by Senate counsel,
okay, but not
and then
turning.
They're kept confidential. But we could add that to the committee procedures, that out of courtesy to share your amendment with the members or at least with the chair. It'd be nice.
Mr. Chair, I just think it would be helpful to the members so that we have just a little time to absorb. And because I don't totally agree with the, I don't totally disagree with this idea. I'm just questioning the placement of it at this point. So,
and I think if you're looking at a total picture, that if you're looking at in context of what state employees get, in context of salaries, and you know, perhaps if legislative salaries were to increase, then it would be a fair trade-off to then pay part of the make a contribution toward the health care. I think there's a way to kind of work this through. I agree with Senator Eaton. I don't think this is the place or now or time. Senator Hayden.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think you kind of took the words out of my mouth, and Senator Peterson talked about, you know, the 5 months worth of work and how much we're paid. And I think, you know, a lot of us work a lot more than 5 months out the year to try to make sure that we are representing our constituents regardless to what the time that we actually spend in this building. And so it just kind of brings up this kind of longer standing issue. And I know that there had been a lot of work done on compensation package, you know, kind of what our job title is, what our responsibilities, what are the skills in which you need in which to do the work, and then how does that reflect to the real world? How does that reflect to, you know, the private sector, if you will? And I think that that's the kind of work that we need to do. I would be glad to participate in that, and that's why I think that these amendments are inappropriate to tack onto this contract, but it would be better, Senator Thompson, I know you do fantastic work, is to have a kind of a comprehensive piece of legislation that maybe called for that study or talk to MMB and Department of Administration on some of the work that is done before so that we can have a thoughtful conversation and one that really kind of gets at, you know, compensation as it relates to the work we do here versus what our state employees do versus what the private sector does. And then we're having a conversation that I think we all can kind of be thoughtful about and make decisions and not this kind of anecdotal or it appears to be. And I know, Senator Thompson, this isn't a gotcha amendment, but it just kind of appears to be tagged on to another process. So I would, you know, once again, encourage members if they're concerned about this or they really want to understand what it is that we're compensated versus state employees versus the private sector and comparable job titles that we actually do that work. And I think that would be thoughtful, and I think we can make a good decision with respect to that, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Holmes or Director Hubinger, is there such a thing called a compensation council? Do you want to tell us about that?
Madam Chair, there is a compensation council that has 16 members that will be starting its work in the next couple of weeks. And that council will be making recommendations to the legislature for salaries for constitutional officers and judges and legislators. The council has 16 members, 8 by the governor, 3 senators, 3 representatives, and 2 members representing the courts. They'll be making their recommendations by the middle of session.
And what kind of people is the governor appointed?
Madam Chair, they're all public members, one from each congressional district.
Okay. All right. Senator Eaton?
I just wanted to add to Senator Hayden's comments that if anybody in the Senate thinks they're only going to work 5.5 months a year, they're in for a big surprise. Thank you.
Senator Dahl, and then...
Madam Chair, just a comment. I'm going to be voting no on this amendment. I agree with Senator Hayden that it's probably not the right vehicle to tack it on to a labor agreement. But I me and my family of 5 don't take health benefits through the state, and I would feel wrong about making those kind of decisions for everyone else.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. Have you noticed how many sons we have in this committee? Anderson, Peterson, and they all sit over there, Johnson.
There might be a relation. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just echo, I guess, what's been talked about here, because in debates in this last campaign, several in Monticello and Delano and Buffalo, where people criticized us as incumbents running for the office that we don't pay our fair share in health benefits and things like that. And you can go into a long debate with these people, but until they actually walk in your shoes for a while, they don't truly understand. And I'm not trying to argue with them or not, but I can see where this amendment does fit well with what the public sees, and especially from having been in the campaign season many times and seeing their angle in the way they bring about their arguments to say, you guys just got a cush job. So
Some people think we live in the governor's mansion and drive limousines.
In
D.C., right. Yeah, they do. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, it seems like there's a consensus on the committee. Every member who spoke to this just about has talked about bringing this bill forward and having it heard in committee. And I was just wondering if you as the chair would commit to hearing a bill on this issue.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
If it was requested, I would certainly hear it.
And just one more point about the 5.5 months worth of work, which was a point that I made earlier. That's not to say that there isn't additional work that needs to be done by legislators if you want to be effective and responsive. My point is simply that these hardworking people in these bargaining units are working, in some cases, for an entire year to make what we make. And many legislators, as we all know, if we're going to be honest, have the luxury of being able to make other income outside of the session, which would imply that there's a significant amount of time to do that. And so what Senator Thompson's amendment, I think, is really just trying to do is say, hey, we get what you're going through. We respect the public's money, and we respect a day's work. And I think that's what he's trying to get at. And that's what my point was in simply saying that I think they would look at our position. And I actually disagree with Representative Hayden. I don't think most people think we're in Washington, D.C., or don't really get what they're talking about. I think they just look at $31,000 a year for what we do and say, that's not a bad gig. So that's simply my point.
So, Senator Peterson, I'm glad you feel so passionate about public employees, and so I hope that means that you'll be voting for the bill.
Madam Chair.
You're welcome to respond.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the issue about talking about the compensation that legislators get for what is constitutionally meant to be part-time work and what we get paid as it relates to what they make, I think is a legitimate issue. And regardless of whether you believe that their particular salary structure should be different, is a separate issue. I think what my point is what we are getting paid as it relates to them is not equal in large part if you look at the proportionate amount of work, and that's my point.
All right. Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I contacted met a lot of public employees last season when I was campaigning. Their biggest issue was the fact that they didn't get paid during the shutdown. And the legislature did.
Mm-mm, I didn't.
Well, they could. Most of them chose to. And that was an issue, and I think Senator Eaton brought it up in her presentation and comments. That's part of the reason why I think we should drop this whole discussion and vote on this bill and pursue legislation that we can all discuss later at a time when we want to.
Senator Thompson, you ready? You want to move your amendment then?
Yes.
All right, Senator Thompson moves the A3 amendment. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Eaton?
No.
Hall?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Dahl?
No.
Wicklund?
No.
Hayden?
No.
Housley?
Yes.
Johnson?
No.
Peterson?
Yes.
Scalzi?
No.
Thompson?
Yes.
Torres Ray?
No.
Vote 8 votes no and 5 yes. The motion is defeated. The amendment is defeated. Are there any other amendments? Seeing none, then Senator Eaton, you want to move your bill?
Madam Chair, I move the bill is amended by the A1.
Senator Eaton moves that Senate File 58 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No.
Motion prevails. The bill is passed. That's all the business we have before the committee. One thing I did want to let members know that coming up, we are going to be doing a tour. It's been requested of the bowels of the Capitol so we can see what some of the issues are. Literally, it's the HVAC systems that are the problem. And so we'll be going down into the tunnels and into the back spaces of the Capitol. We'll let you know so that you can dress warm and wear boots. The committee is adjourned.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sorry.
Oh, will this file be sent to finance after this?
I forgot to do the referral. Thank you very much for reminding me. We're going to have to redo the motion, right?
Yes. Thank
we have to undo the motion we made. We have to reconsider the motion, I think. Senator Eaton moves that Senate File 58 as amended. It's been a while since I had to do this. The motion that passed Senate File 58 be reconsidered. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Eaton moves that Senate File 58 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Finance Committee. Thank you very much, Senator Hall.
Chair, could I get a roll call?
And a roll call has been requested. Then clerk will take the roll. Senator Pappas votes. Chair votes yes.
Eaton?
Yes.
Hall?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Dahl?
Yes.
Wicklund?
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes.
Housley?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Scalzi?
Yes.
Thompson?
No.
Torres Ray?
Yes.
There being 8 votes in